Please stand then for the call to worship. From Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, as Jesus said to his disciples after his resurrection from the dead, he came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, how we thank you for your faithfulness. You are indeed the God of salvation, and you have proclaimed that one way of redemption in the Lord Jesus Christ. He went all the way to the cross and won the victory for all your people, bearing the wrath of God there for all who will trust in him of all times. And now as our risen and ascended Lord, he gives us commands, he gives us directions that are right and good. And yes, the gospel of salvation in him is to go forth to all nations. How we praise you that we have even a part of that, a small part in that, even as a denomination. May your word of truth go forth, even to the last day when our Lord Jesus will come again from heaven. And he will show himself as the judge of the living and the dead. He will be the Savior of all who have trusted in him. And we will be gathered into everlasting life with you, our God. Oh, we praise you for such assurance, such confidence, such promises of our God that we have through Christ the Lord. Forgive our sins, increase our faith, help us to worship you rightly. Guide us now as we do ask it all for your glory and for our good through Christ the Lord in his holy name. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, tis now and ever shall be.
And let us again confess the true Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed, saying, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." You may be seated. And let us turn to our first hymn, 390, "Lord of the Sabbath, Hear Us Pray."
Lord of the Sabbath, hear us pray. In this your house on this your day.
Indeed, on the Lord's Day, we especially remember the rest that Christ has won for us in his saving work. We long for that glorious world to come where there will be no more sin or suffering, pain, tears, or death, but glorious life with God, the triune God, forever. And he is the God who hears us when we come to him and pray as his people. We can be so thankful for all his blessings, of course. Well, let's turn to a Psalter reading today in Psalm 70 on page 820. Again, page 820, Psalm 70, as we read responsively. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord.
Let them be ashamed and confounded who seek my life. Let them be turned back and confused who desire my hurt.
Let them be turned back because of their shame who say, Aha, aha.
Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. And let those who love your salvation say continually, Let God be magnified.
But I am poor and needy. Make haste to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. Yes, we look to the Lord our God as our help, our deliverer, the one who has provided that salvation. And certainly we should be those who say in thankfulness, Let God be magnified. May God be glorified in all the earth, in all nations. As his word, the word of salvation, goes forth, may many more be won to him. Repent of their sins and trust in Jesus Christ and know there is life everlasting for those who do so by God's grace. May that reality be seen more and more in our nation and all the nations of this world. And for our catechism reading today, we'll look at Lord's Day 14 on page 865. Bottom left, page 865, questions 35 and then 36. Question 35, what is the meaning of conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary? That the eternal Son of God, who is and continues true and eternal God, took upon himself the very nature of man, of the flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary, by the operation of the Holy Ghost, so that he might also be the true seed of David, like unto his brethren in all things, except for sin. Well, of course, this is the truth that we must hold to. Otherwise, really, there's no salvation if we don't have one who is true God and true man in one person. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, who took upon himself that very nature of man. He did that by the working of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, in the Virgin Mary. The flesh and blood of the Virgin Mary were essential, of course, for that human nature, but by the miraculous work of God, it was only in her seed, that Christ was conceived and came forth, that he would not have that sinful nature passed on to all mankind through the first sin of Adam. And instead, we have this one who is like unto us in all things except for sin. We depend upon him, on Christ, who gave himself so fully and freely, leaving the glories of heaven to come into this sin-cursed world to give himself for all God's people. Question 36, then, what benefit do you receive from the holy conception and birth of Christ? That he is our mediator, and with his innocence and perfect holiness covers in the sight of God my sin, wherein I was conceived. Again, because of the total depravity, the original sin that is passed on to mankind, all those naturally born, we need a mediator who does not have that. We need the perfectly innocent, the Holy One, Jesus Christ, that we might be accepted with his perfection, his holiness, and all imputed to us who trust in him. That in God's sight we're counted righteous, as if without a single sin of thought, word, or deed in our entire lives. How amazing, how marvelous. Yes, that is the wonderful gospel of grace that we must rely upon at all times, to be accepted by the holy God, to be accepted as his adopted children through the grace of the Lord Jesus. How amazing that is, and may that word thrill us and lead us to be his witnesses always. Again, brothers and sisters, because we have such a God of salvation who cares for his people so infinitely and has done that through Christ and has proven it, we know we can worship, we can come through that grace of the Lord, all believers can, and we know that he will hear us in our prayers. He is so gracious to do so. And so let us come together as we join on this day of prayer for foreign missions. Come to the Lord our God together. Again, our Heavenly Father, how we thank you for your mercies, for your faithfulness, that you are the God who has revealed yourself to us, even through creation generally and above all in redemption especially, as you have proclaimed that truth, that one way of redemption in the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. He came to provide it all in his perfect righteousness, yes, with his virgin birth, his conception, his life, and even going to the cross to bear the wrath of God there for all your chosen ones. How marvelous this work of the Lord our God is, and we want to see its effect even in greater measure in our own lives, in our hearts, in our thoughts, words, and deeds. So we pray it be with us, certainly as a congregation and all here today. We thank you for your faithfulness, O Lord, and we pray that we would be more directed by your word and by your Holy Spirit to follow in the ways of Jesus in gratitude. We pray that word of Christ will go forth indeed, not only in our state and nation, but in other nations of this world, as Jesus commanded it to go forth. How we thank you for providing, and that we have participation in that, even through our denominational efforts with foreign missions as well. And we thank you that we have the privilege to do that and to be part of it, to support it in prayers and giving. May the word of Christ go forth truly in all of these situations. We do pray for that. We certainly think of Reformed Faith and Life, the work most basically of the gospel being proclaimed in the French language as that has gone forth for many years in Africa and elsewhere, and now in France itself with Reverend Kayon. We pray for your blessings upon his work there, and if he has many, as he does have many restrictions on what he can do, we thank you for this event that he is being involved with, the 400th anniversary of Philippe Mornay, and we pray that his life would be a witness to you, O Lord, as that is being spoken of, even in coming up at the anniversary, November 18th. We pray for your word to go forth in that land, and that many more would be won to Christ. And we know in France there were the Huguenots, the French Reformed people, and they were persecuted. May your word go forth in that nation and elsewhere through the efforts of Reverend Kayon. We pray for other efforts, O Heavenly Father, as we think of Westminster Biblical Missions, as we have ministers involved in that. May the word of the Lord Jesus go forth continually in Mexico, in Nepal, Pakistan, Romania. We thank you for the Bibles in Nepal that have been distributed and the Heidelberg Catechism in the Urdu language in Pakistan. May many, again, be won to Christ through such efforts, O Lord. We pray for that and for Middle East Reformed Fellowship. We pray that the gospel will continue to show its power throughout the Middle East, North Africa, and Asia, that Reformed and Presbyterian churches can be involved in that to your honor and your glory, O Lord our God. We pray for Reformation to Germany and the efforts certainly of Reverend D'Aslanville. We pray for the power of the gospel to be proclaimed. We pray that it would have a great effect according to your grace and the working of your Spirit. We think how the Reformation started in earnest in Germany, and yet as a land today where maybe 1% even attend church. We pray instead for your power to be manifest, and many more would be turned to the Lord and have a great reawakening there and elsewhere. Thank you for the Spanish translating work of Reverend Alpuche, our minister, and others, and May that have a great effect even in Latin America. And we thank you for the new seminary in Peru. We pray that your name would be honored there. And thank you for those who want to learn the Reformed faith in a greater way and proclaim it. May your churches be established there to that end. We do pray for the Reformed Church in Democratic Republic of the Congo. We thank you that, again, we have had involvement there since the early 80s, and we pray that the gospel will continue to show its power. It's a fact. Thank you for the work of Heidelberg Theological Seminary in Sioux Falls, and that some of the classes are being translated to the French language. That is one of the languages in Congo. Thank you for the 18 students who are being trained online with the work of the seminary, and we pray for your continued blessings there, and with students in Kenya also, and for the Reformed Fellowship Church there. We ask for your blessings. Thank you. They have a theological college and new building there, and the many men being trained also at this time, even through the online classes. And we pray for them. How we do praise you that there have been more than 80 men receiving some instruction in Kenya and Eastern Congo through our seminary. And we pray for your continued blessings and thank you for the ways you provided with training centers and computer equipment and so forth. And lastly, we think of the Pearl of the Orient Covenant Reformed Church there and how we've been involved in that in recent years. We pray for your blessings, O Lord, that new churches have been built as well. We thank you for that, and new ministers in the last year. Thank you, Reverend Kerner and Morgan. We're able to go to the Philippines this past summer. Bless the weekly video instructions, and we pray you'll continue to guide, even as they had a conference for 50 pastors and elders this summer and 30 more in Reformed polity. We pray for those students, still around 50 men in the training program. And may you be honored again as your kingdom goes forth, your church established there in the Philippines, that the truth may be heard and learned and followed. We pray again in all of these things that many more would be won to Christ in these various nations and through these efforts. Thank you. We have the privilege to be involved in a measure in all of these cases, and we pray for your continued blessings, O Lord. Again, we thank you for answering prayers, not only in those lands, but in our own state and nation. And we pray for the various individuals we brought before you. Certainly pray for Jacob and Joan at this time. And as he has the stage 4 bone cancer, pray that that might be restrained, O Lord, according to your mercies, and guide in all the care and treatment he receives. Help him and Joan to trust in you and be blessed and provided for according to your goodness. If the Nielsens and if Kathy continue to recover from flu, whatever it is he's had here lately, and with Kyle, that he would be turned to you, O Lord, and certainly not turned to alcohol, but to seek your will. With Rodney and upcoming results, if he has prostate cancer, we pray for your guidance there. Lucinda and others with health needs. Certainly pray for our state, O Lord, that we would not have abortion even put on the ballot next year, but that it could be defeated if it is there. Certainly not to have abortion expanded at all in our state or elsewhere in our country. Oh God, we do pray for a great revival, that many more would be turned to the Lord. That's our great need. And we do pray for that to your honor. Be with Grace Reformed at Rosamond, California, Reverend Manuve, and bless your people there. We certainly pray for other nations, the Ukraine and Israel, that there might be peace and it would not be expanded into further warfare that we would be involved in, but that the word of truth would go forth and righteousness in all these places. Again, we thank you for your blessings, O Lord. Help us to hear your word. Guide us to grow in faith and service to you. Help me to proclaim the truth this day, that you would be honored and that we would be edified. We ask it all with the forgiveness of our sins through Christ our Lord. In his name we pray it. Amen. Let's then turn to hymn number 7, From All That Dwell Below the Skies, as we stand to sing.
Creator's praise arise. Let the Redeemer's name be sung through every land by every tongue. In every land begin the song. To every land the strains be. Sound all voices raise and fill the world with joyful praise. Eternal are your mercies, Lord. Eternal truth attends your word. Your praise shall sound from shore to shore, till sun shall rise and set no more.
The scripture passage for the sermon today is Revelation 7, verses 1 to 12. Revelation 7, starting with verse 1. John wrote, "After these things I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 140,000, 44,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Of the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Gad, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Asher, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Levi, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 were sealed. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Now, you know, expectation regarding people or things will affect relationships and effort. For example, if you expect perfection of people in this life, you will be disappointed. Yet if we expect reasonable behavior of children and adults, most of the time at least, they may make efforts to show the same. Or even sinners having total depravity can show some self-control for good due to the working of God within us. Likewise, when it comes to the mission of the gospel, if we expect whole nations to be converted to Christ quickly when hearing of Him, The reality is probably not going to be so, and we would be disappointed. We could think of, say, the citywide repentance of Nineveh when Jonah preached there. And yet the reality is it did not last for many years, nor did the response indicate regeneration and true faith necessarily. But they were fearful, certainly, of the judgment of God as he proclaimed it. However, dear ones, if we trust that Christ will bring fulfillment of the Great Commission, we will have confidence in doing missions in this world. Yes, he said to make disciples of all the nations, and that is happening. Thanks be to God. And we can long and pray to see many converts then. Yes, knowing the gospel will have that effect. And so it will help us to give support to our foreign missions. May we do that then in our thoughts, our prayers, our giving and work. For truly we should expect of the gospel that it will reach all nations on earth, and secondly, it will bring believers of all nations to heaven. Well, here the Apostle John had another vision of angels, and he heard of the working of the gospel again. As we're told, he saw four angels at the four corners of the earth. Well, obviously that does not mean he believed in a flat earth, as some foolish people try to proclaim in our time again. But the angels overshadowed, they watched over the whole earth as the four winds from north, south, east, and west also indicate. All is seen as under their control by God's perfect plan. And therefore, you and I can expect the message, the wonderful message of salvation in Christ to have good effect in all the earth. Truly then, the gospel will reach all nations. It will reach them, sealing all believers for God. Again, the four winds were held back like the four horsemen in chapter 6, and that must point to God's judgments on the wicked, on unbelievers who are rebels against the Lord. But it's held back for a time because believers are then rather sealed, meaning those of all time, I'll say, not just at the end of the world with some great tribulation then. In any case, the seal of the living God is brought forth. It comes from the east, perhaps pointing to Jerusalem. For you know the gospel began to spread out from there to the world and is still going forth. And those converted through that message are sealed as owned by God, being his special people. Yes, the purchase price, the price of our redemption is in Christ who went to the cross, of course. Oh, truly the protection of believers from God's judgments on the faithless is meant also. And you can know that is seen as in Ezekiel 9, 3 and following. There it was at Jerusalem under judgment from the Babylonians, whom the Lord sent against his old covenant people. Ezekiel saw it that a symbolic mark was put on the foreheads of those who, quote, sighed and cried over all the abominations done there. They would be protected from God's judgment on the idolaters. Well, in our passage, the servants of God were sealed, and they can... Also, that word servants can be described as slaves, being utterly devoted to the Lord. Yes, that is said of all believers, all who have redemption. For again, Jesus Christ bore our iniquity at the cross. And as in Romans 8:28, we have that assurance, that promise that God will work in all things for our good as his followers. That is assured to us, beloved. Assured since Christians have his seal on our foreheads in baptism. Also, when you look ahead to chapter 14 here, the first four verses, the 144,000 spoken of here have God the Father's name written on their foreheads. They're sealed. And they are, there said, redeemed from the earth. From the earth. And so I say that's the first point, that the tribes spoken of here I say really indicate the universal church, not only believing Israelites. And as for all believers of all time, yes, each one, we have that assurance that we're owned and protected with God's name as the seal upon us. It's symbolized in our baptism with the triune name of God now put on our foreheads. Well, as one wrote, the restraint of destruction upon the faithful is the common theme here. And quote, every moment on the earth is made to serve the redeeming purpose of God for mankind. That is, the elect of all nations will be sealed. Sealed by God. And truly, his name upon the faithful does protect against tampering, as man's seal on Christ's tomb attempted to do, seal against tampering. It marks as owned and certified, genuine in character. Yes, having faith in Jesus seals and protects his followers. We do not have to face and endure the wrath of God as the unbelieving will. That's God's assurance. For Jesus purchased us, yes, with his own blood. And the Holy Spirit seals inwardly, assuring Christians that we are the adopted children of God. Oh yes, that is true, even though we will suffer persecution and trials in this world as the ungodly try to oppress us. Indeed, brothers and sisters, we are permanently sealed, for true believers cannot be lost. No one can snatch his sheep out of his hand, nor from the Father, as Jesus said, as he promised in John chapter 10. What a wonderful assurance for all the faithful. So let us each have that expectation for the gospel as it goes forth to all God's chosen ones. Expect that it will reach all nations on earth. It will do that, redeeming the perfect number in the church. Now in verse 4, John heard the number of those who were sealed. 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. First, let's consider that number. And remember that numbers are most often symbolic in the book of Revelation. As 3, you know, that said, the number is for the Trinity. Certainly there are 3 persons in the Godhead, we know that. And 4 again points to the 4 directions. And so multiplied together, we can understand the meaning of God's working in the universe as in all this world. And that is meant with the result of 12, as with the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles. And those multiplied would mean the church of all time, the 144. Again, that's multiplied by 10, by 10, by 10. 10 is a number of perfection, is repeated twice, or you could say it's 10 raised to the power of 3, the divine number. And so the point is, in all of this, it's symbolic of completeness. Completeness, the perfect total of Israel. But again, I believe that points to spiritual Israel, the universal church on this earth. Again, believers of all time who escape the harm of God's judgments that are meant for the wicked. Yes, as I said, that's true, though all believers have the world and the devil against us. As for the tribes listed, the 144,000 are taken of, or literally out of them, obviously meaning elect ones from the tribes mentioned. But then the question is it the perfect number of literal Israelites to be saved in those first 7 verses, as some maintain? And are they different than the great multitude in verses 9 to 12, as would follow, meaning Gentile believers? But I ask, why are they not said to be sealed for protection? Certainly all need that. Also here, it is an irregular list. For the numbered Old Testament list, as in the book of Numbers, You know, those lists give totals for Manasseh and Ephraim, the sons of Joseph, not Joseph himself. And the Levites are listed separately there from the rest of the tribes recorded for warfare purposes. Here Dan is not listed, nor Ephraim, both perhaps after idolatry was found in them, as recorded in Judges 17 and 18. And John has already written against idolatry in the New Testament churches in his first chapters. Well, some have even thought that the final Antichrist will come from the tribe of Dan. But there is no evidence for that, though there was indeed a Judas among the 12 apostles, the spiritual Israel. In any case, dear ones, I believe has said that this irregular list may again show literal Israel is not meant, but true spiritual Israel, the church. And you can understand that with Judah listed first, that reminds us of our Lord Jesus Christ as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, chapter 5:5. For he is truly the messianic king of the whole church, of course. Oh, probably more telling than the numbers and list are the New Testament descriptions, those wonderful descriptions of the church, consisting of Jewish and Gentile Christians. It is given names of Old Testament Israel, such as being the 12 tribes in James 1, or the dispersion, 1 Peter 1. Indeed, Christians are called inward Jews in Romans 2, 28 and following. And they are Abraham's seed. And I take it as the universal church is meant with the term the Israel of God, Galatians 3 and 6, 16. Other Old Testament terms are given the church in 1 Peter 2, 9 and following. Yes, his wonderful declaration to Christians. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. Gentile Christians are assured of that in those Old Testament terms. And lastly, in this book, chapter 21, New Jerusalem is the home of all believers. And as you look at that, that city, it says, has the names of the 12 tribes of Israel and of the 12 apostles on its gates and foundations. Well, also, beloved, you can know that this book often repeats the same thoughts with different visions. Therefore, I think the universal church is meant in both sections of our passage. The important point is that the gospel will reach all nations, redeeming the perfect number in the church as God has planned it. Yes, that promise of our Lord as our expectation should certainly lead you and me to support foreign missions. Therefore, may we do that gladly, gladly, in our thoughts, our prayers, our giving, our deeds. The gospel should so lead us. It should lead us also as it will bring believers of all nations to heaven. Well, that's obviously the scene, heaven, which John saw in verses 9 to 12. For those mentioned, the believers, all the peoples of all the nations are before God's throne and the Lamb with all the angels. That's the wonderful result of the word of Christ, that it brings believers of all nations to heaven. And they will all be, as said, a countless multitude having salvation. Well, in verse 9, John did not just hear a number, but he saw a great multitude which no one could number. They were of, or again, out of, or from all nations. All nations, therefore, isn't it plain that includes Israel? Then I say it's the same church. I believe so. But now triumphant in eternity, in God's immediate presence. It is the most glorious vision, as said. And it is eternal life that we should long for. But again, my main point today is that the church comes out of all nations. Oh, yes, Believers from every land will be in heaven in the world to come, that is. And should that not again be a great encouragement to do missions in all the world? Along with that, I pause to say we can think how the RCUS, though a small denomination, is involved in outreach to a number. As on your insert, there is Kenya, the Congo, Philippines, and beyond. There's the French radio broadcast and Middle East Reformed Fellowship, as well as Westminster Biblical Missions. They reach to Mexico, Middle Eastern, and Asian countries. So again, you and I have participation in that mission that will bring a countless multitude to have salvation and to be in heaven, to be with God forever. Praise to the Lord. And yes, as for being the same church as before heard of, the definite number of 144,000 meant completion. Not one of God sealed and saved will be missing there. Here, being unable to be counted, it is the church from the beginning to the end of this world. Again, I believe it is the same universal church, spiritual Israel, in both sections. And the 144,000 is not what some cults try to claim, such as Jehovah's Witnesses try to claim. It's the literal number of their most faithful. No, it's plainly all true believers who will have salvation in heaven as a countless multitude. And what joy for all Christians it will be to be there and have others seen there as redeemed, even through our mission efforts. That God's soul will work. All will be standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And that certainly speaks of perfect acceptance and fellowship with God, serving and sharing in the honor of the Lamb, our Savior, our Lord. Yes, dear ones, Christ, after His death on the cross, His resurrection and ascension, is with the Father who is on His throne. And so in worship, we do come, as I always say, into God's presence. And you and I can only do that through Jesus as our mediator by faith in Him. Also here, when holy angels in verse 11 fall down and worship God, what humility and reverence must we as redeemed sinners show in God's presence. Oh, brothers and sisters, let us rejoice that missions we are involved in will bring the triune God such glory forever, and so it will be with each one converted to Christ. That wonderful status for all the redeemed, we certainly must desire for others in all nations. And we're told it is to be as clothed in white robes, indicating the justification, the perfect righteousness of those saved in Christ, even in that one who was conceived and born in holiness. Here the stola, the word for the long robes, points to the glorious rest and blessedness of all believers. White is also an emblem of victory, as were the palm branches. And you can know that scene in John 12 at Christ's triumphal entry when people wave such branches and call Jesus the King of Israel. Again, it is His victory won for all His followers in His atoning death and life. That we must seek, that it be made known in the nations. Palm branches were also used at the Feast of Tabernacles with the Jews' ingathered harvest. And so here it's a symbol of all the elect gathered gloriously in heaven. Well, in all of this, may you and I remember the way of true victory in this world of evil and tyrants, of worldly government and warfare. As proclaimed, the final triumph comes through quiet trust in Jesus Christ. But then in heaven, we see all His followers will cry out with a loud voice in having forgiveness, righteousness, and everlasting life. Yes, that perfect world will come at last. But with every believer, even now, going through death, heaven is entered immediately. Well, as I say, what desire for missions should go forward, that it go forward, should you and I then have? May we seek that end with all support of our foreign works, for their God will be so honored. The gospel will bring believers of all nations to heaven. It will do that, lastly, as a countless multitude praising God in perfection. Well, certainly you and I know our lives are to be full of praises to God here. That should only be expected, that we would show such gratitude for salvation in Jesus. But in heaven, with all sin removed from our hearts, it will be done in perfection. Yes, here in verse 10, the peoples of all nations cried out, "Salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb." In the Greek, it is the salvation from sin and all its consequences, even eternal punishment. And it is salvation from all the rebellion of this world and its persecution of Christ and his followers. Of course, that is the work of the all-ruling God on his throne, as said. Salvation comes from the sovereign act of God in Christ. And all the redeemed and all the multitudes of the angels rightly then, as elsewhere, fall down and worship God. And the angels say, "Amen to all that the saved proclaimed." For the holy angels agree, of course. And they have such joy in the saving work of God. They add 7 excellencies they're considered in God's saving of sinners. That sevenfold doxology is total and complete. And again, it's literally the blessing and the glory and so forth. That is, the best of all these attributes possible is meant as belonging to God. Indeed, the fullness of blessing is seen in God's work of providing salvation. His glory is the recognized splendor of working it out. Wisdom is especially clear in God's providing it by the best means. Thanksgiving and honor to God both result in seeing this wisdom and the Lord's power to save and his might to conquer the devil, all evil, and the curse of the broken law are acknowledged. And so, of course, dear ones, the triune God will be praised perfectly by angels and redeemed of all the nations forever. Their final amen declares that is fully, absolutely reliable. Again, what a privilege to know that missions of the church on earth that we are involved with will contribute to that great glory of the triune God. Perfect praise to him is, as Matthew Henry wrote, the work of heaven, and we ought to begin it now, to get our hearts tuned for it, to be much in it, and to long for that world where our praises as well as our happiness will be perfected. And so may you and I, each of us, be much in praising of our God, praying for our missions in the various lands, and showing that support. For the gospel will truly reach all nations and convert his chosen ones. And then our Lord Christ will return. Hallelujah. Amen. And let us pray together. Again, Heavenly Father, how we thank you. We give you praise, honor, and glory. Yes, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are worthy of far more than we can give. But that glory will be yours in perfection. Your praises will be offered in perfection by all the redeemed. And so we long for that glorious return of Christ, that world to come. But now may the gospel go forth in greater measure, that it will reach truly all nations and bring all your chosen to everlasting life with you. May you so be honored that there will be that countless multitude in heaven, in the world to come, as you have so promised. May we see it, and may we rejoice to have that experience in that world coming. Yes, all honor and glory to your name. Help us to be your witnesses And may these mission works be effective, O Lord, in each land. Thank you for all your blessings and that you are with us even day by day in our own places. Guide and direct us to serve you gladly then for your honor and your glory above all. And now we do pray together as Christ taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This time, then, we can give of our tithes and offerings to the Lord in thankfulness. Let's turn to our final hymn, 449. We rest on thee, our shield and our defender, as we stand to sing. We rest on thee, our shield and our defender. Strong in thy strength, safe in thy keeping tender, we rest on thee, and in thy name we go. Strong in thy strength, safe in thy keeping tender, on thee, and in thy name we go. Yea, in thy name, O Captain of salvation, in thy dear name, all other names above. Jesus, our righteousness, our sure foundation, our Prince of glory and our King of love. Jesus, our righteousness, our sure foundation, of glory and our King of love. We go
this feeling and needing more each day thy grace to know. Yet from our hearts a song of triumph pealing, we rest on thee and in thy name we go. Yet from our hearts a song of triumph pealing, we rest on thee and in thy name we go. We rest on thee, our shield, our defender. Thine is the battle, thine shall be the praise. When passing through the gates of pearly splendor, victors we rest with thee through endless days. When passing through the gates of pearly splendor, victors we rest with thee through endless days.
Receive the Lord's benediction. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.